Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Good morning, Mark Lasseter.
How you doing, bud?
Doing good. Randy Bergen is on assignment in Texas. He traveled. Yeah, he's traveling.
With all them dang Longhorns.
Man, he's out there, and I'm telling you right now, he's had a long car ride. I don't know why he didn't fly.
That's a long way out there.
That's a long way out there for our little man. But we're taping today, and today is the day. Today is the day.
It is a day.
It is the day. Happy birthday to you, Mark Lasseter.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate it.
I told somebody in a picture today that picture must have been taken 5 or 10 years ago because you're not nearly as tall as that.
I'm not stooping. I'm not falling. I'm not bending over. I am same height in that picture. That was last September 29th is when that was at Brooks's wedding. So thank you.
And Michelle just looked absolutely gorgeous.
Are you talking about?
I'm just telling you.
I married way up on that
one.
Well,
you most certainly did.
And she'll tell you, being an Auburn, good Auburn fan, she'll tell you that she married way down. Since I'm an Alabama fan, you know how that goes.
Yeah, and let's get into this. Let's get out of that. Let's get into this, and let's say that just breaking news today at high school All-American Vigor star Micah Dubose has transferred to Theodore. It keeps on, keeps on. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I understand the transfer rule, and I know what he's done because Vigor is considered with the Alabama Education Department, they are a failing school. So, therefore, he can transfer from the public school, Vigor, because of that rule. And I don't understand that rule, but you may know it better than me.
I really don't understand a lot about it, but I do know it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And they have to go from that school to a school that's not failing.
Right.
And I don't understand do they have to make a bona fide move to be eligible?
I think where they live, from what I understand, where they live, they won't have to move. So,
it's just the way of the world these days.
I
mean,
it
just
is.
Telling you.
It is.
And people are moving from one school to another.
And what's going on at Vigor is they don't have a head coach right now.
No.
And they may not have one for a month. So I understand that. I do. And, congratulations to Theodore High School. They get a great football player who, from what I understand, wants to graduate in December and be on campus at the University of Alabama.
More power to him.
That's great. If it's good for that child, young man, then that's amazing. But let me tell you. When you get an offensive lineman like that guy, that completely changes.
You do a whole lot of stuff.
I'm just telling you, he's one heck of a football player.
He's a really good player.
He's a good one.
And one thing he said, I read a little thing what he said in an excerpt, and he said that that Coach Cook had done a lot for him.
Yeah.
Had developed him into the player that he was, and he didn't want anybody else taking credit for it.
Right.
At Vigor High School. That was kind of his thoughts, and I understand that. A lot of people weren't happy with Coach Cook getting let go.
That's right. There are a lot of upset people.
And a lot of kids were upset. A lot of parents were upset.
Yep.
Why it happened, that's, as you and I have said a million times, we don't know.
No.
And we're not going to throw darts at anybody.
No.
But
jumping on that boat.
No, but I just hate it for those kids. Hate it for, but I hope things work out for my, and I hope that I think Steve Mask is probably a happy guy.
Oh, I'm sure he is. And I talked to Steve Mask earlier today. He's never met him. He says never met him. He's met his mom and dad. They came in and talked to Steve. But from what I understand, Steve's never met the kid.
Mm-mm.
And probably, I'm going to tell you this, probably he might not have seen a lot of film on him because he's playing in a completely different league
correct.
Than what Viger has been in the past. So, you know, congratulations to everybody. If it makes his situation better, then congratulations. And I know it's above board. There's no doubt in my mind it's completely above right. board. And when the parents want to do that, then that's what the parents need to do. And, you know, let's move forward and do the best we can do with that. So
he is a tremendous football player.
He is a really good football player. And I'm going to tell you that that's one that will make a difference. Sad news coming out of Birmingham. We had called Chris Yeager earlier today, and he was getting on the football field. But they lost a longtime Mountain Brook football coach. Mike Thorson passed away this week. I'm going to tell you, Mike Thorson, Mike is the guy that when Bob Finley passed away at Berry, Mike Thorson became the interim head coach there. And I'm going to tell you right now, Mike did it his own way. He really did it his own way. He was a special, special football man. He was tough on kids, but he loved them before they got out of that parking lot. I mean, he was that guy. He demanded perfection. And, boy, he was a man for the ages. He transformed boys to men. He mentored coaches. But, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, that man loved the Mountain Brook Spartans. And 25 years. 25 years he was there. It's going to be a big absence on that staff. It's going to be a huge absence on that staff. Chris Yeager is one of the finest offensive line coaches that's ever graced the sidelines in the state of Alabama. I put he and Phil Lazarby in kind of a class by themselves. And the guy that used to be at Theodore. And I can't think of his name, but he was one heck of a football coach. And I'll think of his name before this day's over. But you put the guy that was at Theodore, Phil Lazarby, and Mike Thorson, you know, he's working for one of the best that ever was in Chris Yeager. I believe that. So, and I'll throw Mark Lester in there because he worked for Savarese, and so he had to be pretty stinking good to be able to work for him.
He didn't let me I only got the offensive line during the spring training.
See, that's not fair.
That's when we always swapped.
Otherwise,
I was usually probably cleaning out the bus.
Yeah, I hear you. That's not true. That's not true. Busby might have been cleaning out the bus.
Oh, Busby called me today.
That's good.
Yeah, he did. That's he good. Called me.
He
today.
Wants you to play golf with him.
No, he don't want me. Nobody wants me to play golf with him. Okay. There's too many stories on the radio about my golf game.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm really really sad to hear that about Mike. I remember when Mike took over at Berry, and takes a special person to fall behind or try to fill the shoes of a legend Bob Finley.
No doubt about that.
One of the finest men, finest coaches ever in the state of Alabama, in the United States of America.
Yep.
Tremendous football coach, and Mike stepped in and took his place and, you know, did a great job there for them.
Most competitive man I've ever been around in my life, Bob Finley.
Yeah, no doubt.
On Sunday afternoons, we would go over and play basketball at Berry High School. It was a war. I'm telling you, him and Larry Harbin and those guys, they got after it. There was never a cross word said, but I mean, it was elbows thrown. You better not call a foul. You could not call a foul.
You won't be back if you call a foul.
No, you couldn't call a foul. And, buddy, they got after it. And nobody I've ever known loved the University of Tennessee Vols more than Bob Finley.
That's true.
Just an amazing man.
Delightful man.
Yep. Mike Thorson, he's going to be missed by everybody that knew him.
Yeah, that's right.
And we send out our deepest sympathy to his entire family. And especially to that staff at Mountain Brook. Chris Yeager told me today, he said, you know, Rick, I lost my dad years ago, and I hadn't had the feeling of that loss like anything like that until Mike Thorson died. That's pretty, man, that carries a lot of weight with me, knowing Chris Yeager the way we know him. So,
exactly.
Joey Jones is also a guy that he worked with Mike Thorson, and And when Joey says he's one of the best coaches I've ever been around, and
pretty
he's
good coach.
Yeah, he's a pretty doggone good football coach. And he's always said that. He's always said that. He's one of those guys who really motivated his players. They loved him, but he was extremely hard on them. And he could do that.
Yeah.
He could do that because they knew that he loved him. Rest in peace, Mike Thorson. You're in a lot better place than we are today. And for that, we are thankful that you've been a part of our coaching lives. We'll be back with more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report with Rodney Orr of Tighter Insider right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
You know, we always come in with that. And Steely Dan's always talking about seeing your picture, Mark.
My picture.
Your picture.
Hope it's not in the post
that
office.
That song's all about you, buddy. It's,
yeah. Okay.
We love us some Steely Dan. I would imagine Rodney Orr loves some Steely Dan and probably loves some Boz Scaggs, too. So.
Well, just about anybody who's an Alabama fan knows the Steely Dan.
Oh, absolutely they do. They play that thing in the stadium.
That Deacon Blues.
Yes, yeah, that's just absolutely ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It's a great song.
You know, one of the movers and shakers in changing the culture of how we follow our football teams is Rodney Orr. He and his brother Dalton started Tighter Insider in 1996, and it has been nothing but a complete success, and we're going to welcome Rodney in today because Rodney's – I received his book the other day called Bigger Than Bama, and I want to welcome Rodney to Prep Sports Report. Rodney was a guest on Prep Sports Report almost when this show first started, 25 years ago, or right in that sometime. Rodney, welcome to PSR, pal.
Hey, Rick. Appreciate you having me.
Well, you were one of the originals. I mean, you got on here. I mean, I guess we'd been going for maybe a year when we first got on board with you. But, wow, you've had a great run. What you and Dalton started, and now it is the website, or it is the place for people to go to learn about Tighter Insider. You want to talk just a little bit about how that got started? Mark Lassiter is here with us, former president of the Alabama High School Football Coaches Association. And, boy, we absolutely love reading about Alabama, and you are the main source that we love to hear from.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Rick. And, yes, I remember Coach Lassiter really, really well from back in the day. I think, as I recall, back in the day he was at Alma Bryant.
Yeah, right.
If I remember correctly.
You're right. Back when we had Antoine Odom.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you sure did. And but you had a great program down there, obviously. But, yeah, no, it's crazy because, and I detail this in my book, that, you know, Rick and Coach, we actually, my family, I was born in Mobile.
Yeah.
And we moved to Corpus Christi, Texas in 1966 when Buckley Field closed. And my dad was transferred to Texas. And I always tell this story that I didn't know I was from Alabama or we were from Alabama until we got to Texas. And they let us know, they really let us know about it. And, you know, it was 1966. A lot going on, you know, at that time, of course. And they called us every name in the book because we were from Alabama. But I asked one of my older brothers, I said, you know, do you hear they're calling us and why are they calling us these names? And he told me, yeah, they're jealous. I said, well, they don't sound jealous. And he said, well, let me tell you why. And you got to remember, I might have been 6 years old at the time. And he says, well, because we were number one in 64, we were number one in 65, and we should have been number one again this year, but they screwed us out of it. So he planted a seed at that very moment of an obsession that just really blossomed, you know, into my identity following Alabama football back in the late 60s. And then, of course, Coach Bryant's great run in the 70s just really kind of, you know, set me ablaze with the obsession. So that's how it all started. But, you know, just my dream to follow Alabama football, to cover Alabama football, you know, through the years really kind of built. And, you know, Coach and Coach Rick, I never really thought it was going to happen. You know, by this, by 1994, I'm living in Corpus, back in Corpus Christi after I attended school at the University of Alabama, of course. And I'm living in Corpus Christi and thinking there's no way this dream's going to ever come true. And then this thing called the Internet came about. And my oldest brother, as you mentioned, Dalton, he told me, he said, listen, this is going to take over TV stations. It's going to take over newspapers. And I was like, no way. This can't be true. I mean, it just seemed too far-fetched. Then it did, and we put Tighter Insider, of course, on the Internet in 1996, and it blossomed. And within 18 months, I was making more money on TighterInsider.com from a small bedroom in Corpus Christi than I was a real job that I've been with 10 years with BFI in trash industry, waste management industry. So that's how it all kind of came about, long story short. And then within 2 years... We're moving to Tuscaloosa. Me and my family taking Tighter Insider full time. Well, so that's how it really all kind of came together.
Well, Rodney, and we're talking to Rodney Orr, Tighter Insider. Rodney, I want you to tell people right here. We're going to try to keep you for two segments because I know you got a grandchild back there, and he is being fabulous. But we want to try to keep you for two segments. But I want you to tell folks how they can get in touch with you to be a part of Tighter Insider. As we get started here,
yeah, TighterInsider.com. It's only $48 a year.
That's amazing.
And they can get instant access with their credit card if you're an Alabama fan. Or if you prefer, there is an address there to send a check. Gives you all our premium recruiting, all that other information, but also our kind of, I guess, the famous Tighter Insider message board, our all sports forum, which is our community of Alabama fans. And, that's been going strong for nearly 30 years. It'll be 28 in October. But, it's been going really strong and still continues to go strong, thankfully.
You know, Mark, I bet you didn't know this, but when you go on Tighter Insider and you get on the message board, Rodney knows everybody that's on that message board, which is good, I think. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's good that you know that. I may have put some things on there one time. I don't know. If I did, they were positive. We got about 2 minutes in this segment, Rodney. I kind of want you to bring us up to date currently. How you feel about the new staff?
No, I think they've come in and, I was around when Coach Bryant transitioned to Ray Perkins, and it wasn't so smooth, yeah. Honestly, and a lot of the transitions have not been smooth.
Yeah.
But this one has been so far so good. I mean, I would have never imagined going from, Coach Saban to someone else and that it would have gone as smoothly as it's gone so far. Now, we're still a long way to go, obviously. But, they came in, they retained much of the roster that they had. They kept most of the guys, and then they did a great job of holding the recruiting class together. And then I thought he did a fantastic job of getting Ryan Williams, the great player from Saraland, who had decommitted back in the fold. And now, did a great job in the portal in the spring. And now with this recruiting class, they got, 19 commitments? That's number two or three class in the country right now.
Yeah.
So it almost looks Saban-esque, if you will.
It does. Right, and it's, as we get into the last minute, breaking news today out of Vigor High School, Mike Dubos has transferred over to Theodore High School because they don't have a head coach at Vigor right now. So you got a pretty good player in Michael Dubose. I'm going to tell you, he's one of the best ones I've ever seen offensive line-wise in high school.
Mike Dubose?
Yep. He's transferred from Vigor.
Yeah. I understand he's going to be he is leaving.
Yep.
And I was told yesterday he would be at Theodore. Yep. So that's a big pickup for that Theodore program, that's for sure. Obviously he's a great player and, committed to Alabama last Saturday night.
All right, we're going to get out of here. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes with Rodney Orr, Tighter Insider.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And I really wish Randy were here this morning. I can tell you that, because he would love, 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 love to be able to talk to Rodney.
Yes,
about Alabama football and really all sports. Rodney's not just football. I mean, it's everything at Alabama and does a great job of it. One of the main reasons we've got Rodney on in the off season, so to speak, is yesterday at home I got his book, Bigger Than Bama, The Inside Story of Tighter Insider. Our buddy Ray Melick worked with Rodney on this story, this book, and it's a wonderful – I can't put it down, to be honest with you. So it'll be read by, I'm sure, by Saturday, Martin. I'll be able to give it to you.
And good.
That's not good to tell Rodney. Rodney wants to sell you one. I know, Mark, you had something you wanted to ask Rodney.
Yeah, I did. Rodney, there was something I was – when Coach DeBoer took over, one of his first hires was a position I've never heard before in college athletics. Now, I'm sure it's been going on. I just never heard about it. Was a general manager. And he's got this fellow by the name of Courtney Morgan who has kind of come in and done this. And I think he is one of the backbones of their recruiting process. Do you know much about what his role is and what he's doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, he is he's kind of an overseer, and I say overseer, he's actively involved in evaluations of prospects, you know, offers, who they want to offer, who they want to recruit, the personnel that they have now, you know, managing the roster, portal decisions. All of these things, when it comes to personnel and management, he's got a hand in. And, you know, I think it's really a role that's going to continue, I think, to grow across the country, because it gives these coaches, I mean, right now, I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you. I do not know how these coaches do their jobs with everything that's going on. You know, I said about 2 years before the portal opened for the first time, I said, these staffs are going to have to hire a retention staff just to keep your current players. It's really, you know, that's part of Courtney Morgan's, a big part of his job is having his finger on the pulse of the current team, the current roster. So it's just a really tough task for head coaches now. They're spread so thin. And, so with all that said, I do think it's going to be a position that's going to continue. We're going to continue to see that become more popular around the country.
Mark, we also had a young guy that I'd love to know what's going on with him on the staff at Alabama from Fairhope.
Ellis Ponder.
Yeah.
I think Ellis's position is the same as it was, but I haven't talked to him. Ellis is a hard man to catch up with, but Ellis was Coach Saban's right-hand man. And and I don't know what his role is right now. Maybe you know. I'm sure you do, Ron. You know more than we do about it. But Ellis was a kid who was a man now, but he was a kid when I knew him at Fairhope High School, and we just loved that boy to death. I guess he's got the same role.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got the same title. I don't know if actually, you know, he's doing the same things. What exactly, you know, his day-to-day responsibilities are, but I certainly know that he's still around and certainly active in doing what he has to do to you know, carry out what he was doing. So but it's you know, Ellis Ponder's still here. There's still several guys from Saban's regime that are still here, you know, and he's got a big staff now. I'm telling DeBoer's got a really big staff with the guys he's brought in and the guys that he's kept from Nick Saban's group.
All right, Rodney, let's talk about Bigger Than Bama. Where did this start? Because this is a testimony. It is, boy, it covers a lot of subjects at Alabama. But talk a little bit about how this came to fruition.
I'm sorry?
Let's talk about Bigger Than Bama. I know this is a testimony. It's a book about Alabama athletics. It's a book about Alabama coaches, rival coaches. Kind of give us how this the background to how this book became came into being.
Well, you know, I explained earlier a part of the book. You know, how it all kind of came about, the fandom, the dream of covering Alabama. All of those things, and I talk about that and how, against all odds, Tider Insider came about. But in the process of all of that, once we got to Tuscaloosa, once things really kind of just, I mean, it exploded. The internet had exploded. Tider Insider exploded. And, you know, as I tell the story, it can be really overwhelming because I was like the first premium Alabama website. And I really didn't even have any competition when we first got here. And so there was, you know, I was constantly working, constantly busy. It was just kind of got to be an overwhelming thing. And in the process, guys, to be honest with you, I lost contact with my family. You know, I wasn't the husband that I should have been. I wasn't the father that I should have been. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way. And before I knew it, you know, with my focus being completely on my job, next thing I knew was my wife, who had been the spiritual pillar of our home, she was diagnosed with ADD. And this was in 2000. And they put her on a drug called Adderall. Mm-hmm. And I never would have dreamed that my wife, who, again, was the spiritual pillar of our home, would get addicted to prescription drugs. And it was a nightmare. If you've never dealt with addiction, you don't want to, trust me. It was a 7-year battle. Over the course of that 7 years, I can't tell you what all happened to our family. I mean, it's, like I said, I detail it all in the book, but right. It's just, we don't have enough time here to tell it all. But, you know, long story short, my wife, ultimately, the last month of her life, she had 5 accidents. She totaled several vehicles. And the night she was killed, March 7, 2007, my son-in-law was killed in a separate accident just an hour and a half earlier.
Ooh.
And, you know, when this all happened, my stepson, who I raised since he was 5, had been a 2-sport athlete on scholarship at Alabama. And he had lost, well, he had been suspended due to failing drug tests. And at the time of his mother's death, he was facing 5 years in prison for drug trafficking. So at this point, I've got a stepson who's facing 5 years in prison. I've got a daughter whose husband had been killed the same night her mother was killed. I've got a 14-year-old daughter who's drinking, smoking marijuana, threatening suicide. I've got a little 9-year-old daughter asking me, Dad, did Mom even love me? So that's the story in a nutshell of where we were. But I just remember, you know, after my wife's funeral, standing in the kitchen of our home, and it was like a EF5 tornado had swept through. There was debris everywhere, you know, and the debris being my family.
Right.
And how do you pick up the pieces? You know, as I said, stepson facing 5 years in prison, one daughter lost her mother and her husband the same night.
Wow.
And the others that I mentioned as well. I mean, I just remember saying, Lord, I can't do this, but you can.
Yeah.
And it was a long process. It was a difficult process. You know, I was left having to raise 2 young girls at 9 and 14 years old. And so, to make a long story short, you know, over the course of time, what God did to transform my family was miraculous. My stepson now, he has Ascended Life Ministries in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's amazing.
It's an international ministry, travels the world. He's got a wife and 7 kids now.
Oh, Lord, Rodney.
My daughter, Vanessa, she got remarried, and she has 2 daughters. One just finished her freshman year at the University of Alabama. My daughter, Natalie, who was smoking marijuana, drinking, and threatening suicide, now has her own business. She owns a very prosperous boutique here in Tuscaloosa. And she's married and has a son, 11, and a daughter, 7. And, you know, my youngest daughter, Madeline, has done a great job as well. She's doing really well. And she has a son, Jackson, who is 5, turn 5 next month. So I say all that to say that, you know, it's all in the book, things that happen. But, you know, guys, I'll just tell you the truth. I lost focus on what was main priority, which was my family. And I got so entrenched in what I was doing and so focused on my business. And I made a lot of mistakes, you know, and I detail a lot of those mistakes. And I realized it was something that my wife had told me all along, really before, way before the addiction even started. And that was that God had called me and calls all of us as men, as fathers, as husbands, to be the spiritual leaders of our home. He didn't call my wife to be the spiritual leader. He called me. But you see, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to allow her to be that. But anyway, with all that said, that's kind of my passion now, is to speak to men, you know, and encourage them to become that spiritual leader of their home that God designed us to be.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the short of it.
Rodney, I want to thank you. Mark and I want to thank you. We got to get out of here. But that's a strong testimony, bigger than Bama. And we're going to keep talking about it for the next couple of shows. I can tell you that. Rodney, thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Remember this.
God bless.
In our weakness, God's strength is powerful. Take care.
That's correct. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
You know, in 25 years, I don't know that I have ever heard a man lay it on the line like Rodney Ewart just laid it. Let me tell you something, folks.
Quite powerful.
If you want to know that story, Bigger Than Bama, the inside story of Tighter Insider and the life story of Rodney Ewart and his family. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it's going to break your heart. But it's also going to build you right back up because you're going to see the power of our Lord and Savior. I want to thank Rodney for being with us. Boy, I'm telling you, that was something special. And if you don't know how to get the book, get in touch with us here at PSR, and we'll turn you on to how to get it. We appreciate that. The leadership segment today is 5 choices that change everything. And you know, one of the things that most of us seldom think about is the fact that our minds take in everything we see, everything we hear, and everything we read. It all influences us. It influences what we think. It influences those thoughts that determine our actions and every bit of it. And every single one of those choices are influenced by the people we spend our time with. So you see, our life is basically a compilation of the lives of the 5 people that you're around the most. And if you believe that you are influencing them and they are not influencing you, then I'm guessing you may be excited about an upcoming visit from the Easter Bunny. There are some choices in life that only you control. And 5 of those choices are the people you allow to be closest to you. Those are the 5 choices that can change every other choice you make in life. These are the people considered to be your inner circle. Yeah. Are you allowing unmotivated people to be a part of your life? If you are, I can also guarantee you that you have motivational issues. You likely can't seem to get started on the things you say that you want to accomplish. And that's probably because that your natural motivation is being negatively impacted by unmotivated people close to you. And if you're allowing negative people into your inner circle, then I can be fairly certain that other people around you see you as a negative person, even if you don't. Pandemics have been in the news a bit lately, but nobody talks about the pandemic of negativity all around us. You see, negative attitudes are as contagious as any virus that has ever existed, and masks do nothing to stop it. And the only way to avoid catching negativity is to stay away from it. And I've heard a lot of people talk, and I heard Tony Vitello talk this past week on Monday night, as he talked about his team. And the most important thing about his team was he had a bunch of guys who were great teammates. You know, those people that are negative, that negativity, those people aren't great teammates. And we see it in coaching all the time. There's always somebody on our staff, on some staff, in any staff that you want to be a part of, there's always going to be somebody that's going to have that negative attitude. It's a worthy effort to try and infect a negative person with a strong dose of positivity. Understand the contagious that you're dealing with, however, and make sure you keep some space between yourself and the person you're trying to help. Invest some serious time right now to consider the people who you are closest to. Are they helping you? Are they supporting your efforts to have a better, more meaningful life? Are they a good influence on you, or do they overpower your good intentions? Now, you got to be honest with yourself about that. And if you want a better life, you may need to make some tough choices. You may need to say goodbye to some of your friends. Even though some of your friends may mean you no harm, they may be harming you with their choices. Because, see, you are influenced and impacted by them. The number of people you allow into your personal inner circle may also be less than 5. If you determine you currently know only 3 people capable of being builders of you, then 3 people is the perfect number. Don't let a couple of nattering nabobs of negativity into your inner circle, just so you have a circle of 5. Surround yourself with as many positive, caring, and supportive people as you can find. Make sure the 5 people closest to you fully match the positive, caring, and supportive criteria. Now, the quality of your life depends on it. You know, Mark, we see that all the time in our business. I think when you look at – I think of the staff. We talked about Chris Yeager's staff. 25 years, that whole staff, most of them have been together. They just lost one of the main clogs in there, in Mike Thorson. And they all went to see him the day that he passed away. You know, I think sometimes people wait – to go. They know when they're going to go. If you talk to the people that deal with that stage of life, sometimes they know when to let go. Chris Yeager took his entire staff to see Mike, and within 5 hours, Mike had passed. He had passed. He was waiting to tell his boys goodbye. That's the way life is, guys. You know, I had a guy tell me this week. He said, you know, Coach, on the tennis court, he was playing tennis, and he said, Coach, you know, my wife and I agreed a long time ago, we don't say shut up to each other. We just don't. I'm trying to think of what his comment was. He says, when she wants to say shut up, she says, get off the plane. Get off the plane. So she doesn't say be quiet. She doesn't say shut up. She says, all right, get off the plane. I love that. Absolutely love that.
You've been flying around long enough.
That's right. Get off the plane. Hey, if you're in a bad inner circle, get off that plane. I'm telling you right now. Hey, we'll be back with more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter and Coach Cleve right here. Randy's in Texas. We'll see you later.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen. with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lasseter, Rick Cleveland, Randy Bergens. He's on an assignment. I don't know what kind of assignment it is, but he's working, I can promise. He's out in Texas, and I know our buddy Terry are out there. And from there, I can't go any further.
Well, who knows? We'll see him when he gets back.
I do want to wish you a happy birthday today, Mark.
Thank you.
As we're recording on
good
Thursday.
Good to be 65.
Yes, sir. All right.
On Medicare.
Keep talking.
All that good stuff.
You know, Mark, one of the guys and one of the men that we have the utmost respect
for
is the young man who took the job at Blount High School in the late 1980s and took over a football program that had lost more games the previous 10 seasons than any other 5A team in Alabama. And what an amazing job Ben Harris did at Blount High School. And we want to welcome Coach Harris to the Prep Sports Report, and he's been a guest before, but it's been years.
Yeah.
But we want to welcome him back. And, Coach, welcome back to Prep Sports Report, and we are excited to get to spend some time with you today.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to be here, and thank y'all for inviting me into the happy birthday, Coach Lasseter.
Thank you, buddy. Man, it's good to hear your voice, Coach.
That's the same here. Good to hear y'all voice. Good to be here.
You know, Coach, take us back to when you took the job at Blount. There had to be a culture that you just weren't satisfied with, and there had to be some major changes. And let's talk about how you and your staff went in and changed the culture of Blount High School and their football program.
Well, let me start from the beginning. You know, I was over at Baldwin County High School. I went in for an interview that, I guess that Monday, and then that Thursday, they told me, that Wednesday, they told me I had the job. And the assistant told me to be down there for a press conference that Thursday. So, so I took the press conference. Some of my coaching was already picked for them. I never, like I said, I never had met them before.
Right.
Three or four of the coaches I never had met. So that Friday, I went over to Blount to try to meet with the kids, and I had six players to show up, and practice started that Monday. So I took the job on the Friday, and practice started that Monday.
Gosh.
So, I just tell folks I was just blessed to be able to turn around that first year, because that first year we won the school first playoff game ever. So it just wasn't me. I was just blessed. And we started out with six players, and I was able to hire Rafer Parker, who coached me at Alabama State. He's a wide receiver. Coach, I was slow to deal my staff. And then we got up to about 20-some players, and I finished the season with about 24, 26 players that year. And then we went 6-6, won the school first playoff game. So it was tough. We had to start from scratch. So, most coaches would love to have a chance to have spring training first so you can see what you got to get a chance to know the kids and coach it. But I took the job on that Thursday, and then that Friday I went over to Blount, and Monday I met with the kids.
Wow.
Monday to try to start practice.
Yeah.
So I only had like 2 or 3 days to try to get ready.
Well, and we know that you had Rayford Parker. That was your offensive guy that you really thought the world of. And those of us that knew Rayford Parker, he's a Hall of Fame coach in our mind.
He's a great hire for me because he started out being an offensive line coach, and he wound up running the offensive for me, did a super job with it.
Coach, I remember things about that first couple of years when you got there and hearing you talk about it. I kind of think God was working in a way at that time that he knew that you needed to be the guy for that job. And coming in at that, only a few people in America would take a job on a Friday and start practice on Monday. No spring training, not able to hire your own defensive coordinator, not even have your own staff. You got what you got, and you got six kids.
Right.
And it takes a special person to come in. I do believe that God knew what he was doing when he moved you there, Coach. Because after you got started, not the wins and losses were great, but, man, you changed the lives of a community. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts or what you felt like had to be done to change the way things were done in at Blount High School and those kids and their lives and their families.
Yeah, thank you for them comments, nice comments. Yeah, that's right. Law was involved because most coaches and people told me, "Are you crazy for taking that job? You know, you're not gonna have enough time. You won't be successful over there." But I had no idea I was gonna be that successful. That's why I said the law was involved. And like I said, I was able to hire Coach Park about a couple of days later after that Monday. So you know, we started off, just telling the kids, just give me a chance. A lot of them was upset because of what had happened with the previous school staff and teachers, because all the teachers had to reapply for the job.
That's right.
Again, at Blount High School, that's all of them, because of the Birdman-David case.
Right.
You know, so all of them had to reapply. So like I said, when I took the job, my defensive coordinator, I never met him in my life. Baseball coach, the trainer, I never had met. Only person I knew was the basketball coach. That was Willie Scott. Now, I knew him from playing against him.
Right.
I didn't really know him personally. So, you know, it was a blessing that I was able to come to Blount because I went in and, you know, like I said, we went in the thing that we want to take care of the kids. And then the only thing I told them, I want them to give me a chance. Just don't look at where I came from, because they were talking about Baldwin County. So, you know, they sending up the coach over here. Over in Baldwin County, y'all didn't win but one game. So it was a tough situation, but I didn't cry about it.
Right.
You know, you can't go around the point playing. So we went out there to work. And then a lot of people don't know the first practice I had at Blount High School, excuse me, that Monday, was not at Blount High School. We had it at 8 Mile Park.
Right.
Because of all the, the Bernie McDavid case, people was upset. A lot of them wanted the coaches back. So it was tough. So, so the kids started slowly coming around. You know, they was trying to see what this new coach was about. But like I said, when I got there, we started to implement the pride thing, having pride in yourself at school. You know, then once school started, I would go around and check all the kids' classes, after I get a list from the teacher to find out what class they were taking. Then I was pretty tough with discipline. That was my thing with discipline, doing the right thing, being in place, and then always showing respect. And then I tell people, it started in the cafeteria, because the cafeteria, was the place where all the kids would come, and I started making them pick up trays, making them say nice things to the lady. If some of them didn't say nothing, just be appreciated. Don't go around there complaining about the food or whatever. It's just the little things that you do. And then some of the cafeteria workers, they would come up to me, say, "That's a nice thing what you're doing, young man. You really make them feel good that somebody cares." So, start with little things like that.
That's right.
And then, with practice, we try to implement, just basic fundamentals, and we were trying to not to down the previous coach. I don't believe in criticizing it. Other coaches or whatever, I just told them to give me a chance. And then, the first game we won against Mobile County High School. That was in Grand Bay.
Yep.
So that was the first game we won.
You won that game 12-7. You did.
Yes, sir. I think it was 12-7.
It was. It sure
Coach
was.
Coach Bob Saw was the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator.
Well, Ben, we're talking to Coach Ben Harris, legendary coach, and we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the culture that you developed there at Blount High School. I mean, on Sundays, church was part of your culture, and that's something that we want to talk about, is how you got those young men to be a part of what you wanted Blount High School football to be about. It wasn't just about playing football. It was about becoming a young man. And when we come back with Ben Harris, we're going to talk about some of those football players that became prominent young men in the Pritchard and the Mobile area, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're continuing our legend series this morning. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. And we're talking to a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame, the Mobile Sports Hall of Fame, and one of the finest men that's ever walked the sidelines here in Mobile, Alabama. Coach, I want to talk about your third season as a head coach at Blount. In that third season, you won 13 games. You were the Region 1 champions, and you won the state championship when you defeated Homewood. And I'm trying to find a score, and I believe it was like 36-24. But I want to talk about that season because I want to talk about a couple of the young men that played on that team, Sherman Williams, who went on to fame at Alabama and with the Dallas Cowboys. But one of the stories that Sherman tells is the way that Coach Harris took us in like we were his own children and taught us how to be young men and taught us about the Bible and what God expected of us as young men. I want you to share some of those stories with us, Coach.
Well, you know, one of the first thing I'd like to say, I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for the Lord. You know, we were blessed, and he blessed me with a lovely wife and kids. She was real supportive my first year at Blount, and we built that program from scratch with the Lord help, and then with everybody prayers. Like I said, we had no idea the third year we was going to win the state. I was just hoping my father still was living then, and we were just hoping that we have some, successful winning season. But I didn't know about the third year we was going to win the state championship. But, you know, one of the things we started doing at Blount the first year, I told them that we wanted to start going to church on Sunday as a team. So we did the first time. And then Coach Parker said, well, Coach, it'd be good if we could go every Sunday for some of the kids that didn't have a church during the season. It kept going from that the first year, the second year, and then the third year. I got up to about 45 or 50 players, then it grew up to about 60. But, you know, taking them to church, being around our team chaplain, we had two team chaplains. We had Reverend J.J. Phillips, Reverend A.T. Day, we're working at Blount. So we believe in prayer. We prayed after practice. We tell the kids to show respect during the classroom, in school, after school, at home. You know, just a little thing that would be a charity in young people. So I think that really helped. By the third year, and the kids start believing in it, start believing in the program. And we got some shirts that say that the Blount Weightlifting Club, that was something that they never did before. You know, we started doing the lifting of weight. I had them doing that. I had them turn in progress report. And, you know, we did a lot of stuff different. And then when they got in trouble, I had to discipline. You know, so we was able to win the state championship that first year. And Sherman Williams was one of the players. When I first got there, Sherman Williams was a wide receiver, but then we tried him at quarterback, and then he probably tell you about it. He changed the play on me that second year I was there, and that was it for him playing quarterback. I told him the third year when he was a senior, he was going to be a senior. He said, Coach, this is my senior year. I want to win. I said, yeah, we're going to put you at running back. We're going to try to give you 25 or 30 touches a game. We had no idea that we was going to win the state championship. Then I put Daniel Craig at quarterback.
Pretty good.
We had Tony Harrington. Yeah. We had a lot of great players. You know, we was able to turn around. But really, we're building on the defense. was trying to build a strong defense. Then the offense, you know, like I said, it exploded. Sherman had over 3,000 yard rushing in one season. So that was unheard of.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Coach, I was trying to think of the offensive lineman's name, and I think it was Chris Jones. But
yeah, Chris Jones was a senior with Sherman. You know, Chris Jones passed away, I think, in 2008, but he played for – he was a big part of it. We had Tony Harrison, Steve Blackman. We had some good offensive linemen, you know.
You really did.
So that was amazing that we did that. And then one thing I started doing, I would get the quarterback to buy some Burger King, a Big Mac, give him the money, try to build up character and pride with the linemen. And show the linemen some love. So I think that helped too.
It absolutely did, Coach. And after your years at Blount, then you went to Alabama State and coached there for 5 years, and then came to Daleville, then finally returned home and coached at Blount for, what, 6 more years, from 2003 to about 2009, if I'm not mistaken. How was that when you came back home?
I left after 2007.
Okay.
Season, and it was the honor to coach against you, even though it was a shootout over there at home.
Yeah, we had a couple good ball games, Coach. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sure did.
Well, talk a little bit about leaving and then coming back, because that had to be something that was, I mean, it was different. Because
yeah, you know, it was not cutting you off. It was hard leaving because we had just won the state in 1997. I think I had about 20-some starters coming back.
Right.
And I took the job at Alabama State. And then after I left, Coach Brown carried the team. They went undefeated that year.
Right.
So, you know, it was a tough situation, but I had a chance to go back to my alma mater, at Alabama State. And it was tough. Yeah, I know it was tough on the kids because I showed them a lot of love, and they showed me the same thing to me and my family. But like I said, we believe in putting the Lord in it, because I think that really would help. And like I said, when we won the state championship in my third year there, you know, Sherman was teasing me. He said, "Coach, after I leave, you ain't going to win no more." And he'll tell you. And then we wind up, we're going every year. So it was a blessing.
That's right.
I was shocked too. Them kids just believed. So I think the Lord was involved.
Well,
because it's so hard to win a state championship with my father was living. My father died in 1992 of a mass heart attack.
Wow.
He used to tell me, after the season over, son, you got to win 5 ball games to be the state championship. That's hard to do. I said, yes, sir. It is hard to do. Both of y'all know how hard that
it is. It is.
And y'all coaches too. Yeah.
It's
amazing. You have to be blessed, too, now. You have to be blessed to get that.
Well, and one of the things that I think you were one of the first ones that when you got into play, so we got about 30 seconds here before we go to a break, but you were the first ones that when you got into the playoffs, that was a special time of year. And you made it special.
Yes,
you made it special for those kids, and we'll talk about that after we come back from the break. But, you know, when I look at your players, I think about DeAndre Green and DeMarcus McNeil, Robert Malone, and all of those guys, Antoine Hill. Just great players. We want to talk about those when we come back, Coach, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Hard for me to interrupt Boz, but we got Ben Harris on here, and Ben's got a lot of wisdom.
Babies into running around, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street, talking out loud.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And we're talking to Hall of Fame coach, state championship coach, one of the finest men I've ever been around in my life, and Coach Ben Harris. And Coach, I want to tell you a little story. In 1997, I grew up in Sylacauga, Alabama. And Coach Lassiter and I have a dear friend by the name of John Blackman. John Blackman was the head coach of the Sylacauga Aggies in 1997. And I still vividly remember the conversation John and I had in that 1997 season. And they won 13 games that year, and John was really excited about his team. They won the first round of the playoffs. They beat Citronelle 41-13, beat Greenville in the second round 11-9, beat Jackson 25-6 in the third round. They get to the semifinals, and John says, "We're playing the best team in the state of Alabama, but I think we've got a chance to win." You take your 1997 team with DeAndre and McNeil and I'm talking about some really good players. You go to Legion Stadium in Sylacauga and you beat them. You beat our Sylacauga Aggies 35-7. And John Blackman told me after that game, he said, "It's the best high school team I've ever seen." Do you remember that? Do you remember going into Sylacauga and winning that game 35-7 over what? Sylacauga had a really good running back by the name of let me tell you his name. His name was Galinsky Smith. He went on and played, I think, at UAB.
I think UAB.
And a really good player. You remember that year? You remember that game?
Yes, I do. That was a tough game because we was on the road, and we know Sylacauga was undefeated, but we were blessed, and we're real grateful. You know, I'm real grateful for all my players and coaches because they believed that we could win. We had a good week of practice. We know Sylacauga was undefeated. We had Tyrone James as the quarterback. And then the year before, we had Eric James. Eric James was the quarterback in 1996. That's the only team that went undefeated. And Damian Craig won two state championships. I had Calvin Robinson in 95. So we were having a quarterback factory there, but we had some great linemen like DeMarco, receiver DeAndre Green, Antoine Hill, and we had some great players. We had Rob Malone and Quinn Malone. So we were real fortunate to go in there to beat a great team like Sylacauga. They had a great running back. They was undefeated. I didn't know we was going to win by that many points, but we played so well that game, and we went on to win the state championship that year. So like I said, I'm just grateful for all my players and coaches and the people in Pritchard, Blount High School, because I wouldn't have done it by myself. I couldn't have did it by myself. So it was hard to do. I had no idea that we was going to win one state championship, but we was in six of them, so we were blessed. And I think the Lord was involved. And then really, one of my teammates from Alabama State, he came and played for the team during that time also, Reverend Michael Crook. So the kids enjoyed him so much, they keep asking me, say, the next year we went back, they said, "Coach Harris, your teammate coming back so he can play." He really gave him a pep talk. We have Michael Crook from Baymanette. So I saw him today at Coach Jerome Hopper's funeral. One of my friends passed away. I was in Montgomery. So, you know, like I just tell folks, it's just there were too many great players to name all of them, but we had some great ones. We had DeMarco McNeil was the first defensive lineman to win Mr. Football. So that's an honor coming from Blount High School. And like I said, Damian Craig, quarterback, two state championship. Aaron Jane, quarterback, the undefeated team. I talked to Aaron Jane today. You know, he's the head coach at Tuskegee University.
Right.
You know, they were doing a football camp yesterday. I thought they were doing one today. I went by there to see him, but Clemson Bowl was empty. So he told me it was just a one-day camp. So I'm proud of all the kids. Some of them coaches playing, some of them principals. And, you know, I'm just proud of all of them. And it's amazing, ever since I left there, when I started there in 88, the kids still keep in contact with me, some of them, and some of them I still keep in contact with me. So that's amazing. They'll call, and they'll check, and we'll go eat. So, you know, I just give all the credit to the Lord. We was blessed. I had no idea we was going to have a winning season. I was just hoping for a winning season. But in 10 years, in the first 10 years that we've been in the state championship game six times.
So, you know, that's amazing.
Six times in 10 years.
When
from 1988 to 1997.
And when you got there, there were six football players.
this football player showed up for the first practice, and I was saying what I got into. You know, I don't know if we're going to have a team or not, but they slowly started coming around. I want to thank all the players for accepting me because a lot of them could have stayed away, you know. But some of them came on back out.
You know, Coach, Rick made a comment a minute ago that really – want to hear you talk about for a second. You guys make the playoffs, and in the playoffs, you guys were 30-5. 30-5 is an incredible run. What is it about? How do you figure that those guys just, when they, it got into the playoff time, they just got better and better. How do you attribute that? What was it about those kids? And it wasn't just for 1 or 2 years. You're talking about a 6-year period there, where you guys were in the playoffs and won 30 ball games in the playoffs.
Yeah, so that's amazing. I think one group, I think one group of kids won't outdo the other group because they always be asking me who's the best player, who's the best quarterback, who is this. So they always want to try to outdo. I had two separate groups. I had the group with Sherman and Damon, all of them. Then the next group with Aaron James, DeMarco McNeil, DeAndre Green. It was a break in the period 1 year we had missed in that time, but it was amazing how they competed against each other. And then I want to say that I think it started with that 7-on-7. We was able to go to Mississippi State. A lot of people don't know we won the first two pads in 7-on-7 camp ever held at Mississippi State. Blount High School. Cheese did that. So we had two separate teams. I carried them down. I remember the head coach asked me, I can't think of the head coach name now, was at Mississippi State then, but he asked me, he said, "Coach, now, do y'all want to play?" I said, "No, I got to drive all them back in the van." We were both undefeated. You know, we had two teams in the 707. They were both undefeated.
Wow.
So this head coach used to be the head coach at the University of Pittsburgh. I can't think of his name now, but he was at Mississippi State.
It wasn't Jackie Sherrill. Was it Jackie Sherrill?
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's who it was.
Yeah, it was Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah. You know, so we laugh about that.
Yeah.
After that, they say, "Man, your kid's amazing." So them kids, you know, so I think that helped too. I started taking them to camp. We started putting time with them, going to church. We're trying to counsel them how to do right. Stay out in the street. Don't get involved in drugs. And, stay out of trouble. You can say that as a coach and a person, but you got to show them. We carried them to game. We carried them to college game. We spent time with them away from football practice, whatever. So that's what I believe in, too. You have to show them kid love. We went to all kind of college games, from Alabama State to Tuskegee to Alabama to Army game. We try to travel so we can show them a better way than it is out in the street, killing each other, violence, and whatever, drugs. So I think that helped, too, with that winning streak in them 30-5 record. So I think the kids showed love to us back, too. So they went out there and played hard.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, they played extremely hard.
We're talking to Coach Ben Harris in our Legend series. And, boy, Coach, I'm going to tell you, you changed the lives of so many young people at Blount High School and in the Pritchard community. And even today, as we mix and match around town and talk to guys that played at Blount, I keep getting a guy. He had double last name, and I was looking at it, and I was trying to think who this receiver was that people said. I know DeAndre Green was a fantastic receiver. But I have people tell me that Kennard Pugh Williams was an exception.
Oh, yeah.
He's something special. Yeah.
They call him Scooter. Kennard Williams was amazing, too. He had great hands. He ran punt return back, kickoff return. And, you know, we really had some kids really wanting to play and win and not skipping over anything. But, you know, Sherman Williams played both ways for us.
Yeah, they sure did.
It's senior year, 1990. Because you remember now, we played Homewood, and Homewood was about to take the lead, and Sherman Williams was the blocker for Clarence Abel, who went 100 yards on the interception.
That's right.
Watching film, he called it in the end zone. So that's how like I said, the line had to be involved. We was about to lose the game, and Terrence Avery made the interception, and you could see Sherman Williams making block.
Isn't that awesome?
The guys asked me at the coaching clinic, they said, Coach, hey, Sherman, one of your best ball players, that was in 1990, and you weren't afraid of them getting hurt. I said, no, Sherman wasn't going to get hurt. You know, I just believe that Sherman said, Coach, I want to win. You know, so,
well, and that,
you know, you like the other kids.
Yeah.
All of them did whatever they took.
Well,
going to win, you know.
Coach, we want to thank you for taking time out. I know it's been a busy day. You went to a funeral in Montgomery. You're home now. But we want to thank you for being a part of Prep Sports Report. Thank you for making a difference in thousands of young people's lives. And thank you for everything that you've done for high school football in the state of Alabama. God bless you, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all, too, and God bless y'all.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank y'all, man.
That's Ben Harris. We'll be back with more on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This is the day of the expanding man.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, birthdays are fun days. And they're also reflective days. And they're also days where you start looking to the future a little bit. And just thanking the good Lord that I've been able to make another 365 days around the sun. That's a good thing. And in that 365 days, a lot of things have transpired. If I start thinking about it, a lot of really good things have gone on. And some of it's been tough. And some of it's been really hard. And yet, there's always that feeling I get these days. I don't know about you, Rick, but I get the feeling every day I get up, man, you know, I woke up today. God gave me a chance to wake up. And if I do get that chance, well, how am I going to use that day? There have been times in my life that I've struggled getting up, not wanting to. I was reading something earlier. I heard Rodney Orr say it a minute ago about picking up pieces.
Yeah.
That dude had to pick up some pieces in his life.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you talk about tragedy hitting in a two-hour period. Well, we've all had to figure out a way to pick up pieces in our life. And sometimes picking up the pieces is not an easy thing to do. You know, I read something here. It says, courage is not having the strength to go on. It's going on when you don't have the strength. I started reading that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, man, I just don't have, I mean, well, I got to be strong and I got to face this, you know, whatever. And I can. But when I go on, when I don't have that strength, that's the real courage that God has blessed me with at times.
Yeah.
You know? And those are things that every day of my life, this 365 days around this sun, that I get to teach that. I get to teach. The only thing I can teach, Rick, is what I've been taught, what God has given me a chance to teach, to pick up pieces. Everything, the world is not coming to an end because something went bad in my life. Much as I think, you know, I'm master of the universe and all that kind of stuff, I'm not. But I have to pick up pieces in my own life. And sometimes those picking up those pieces are things as small as, well, I didn't get this job. Or, well, I didn't get this position. Or, well, this didn't work out for me. You know, that may be a small thing at that moment. And it's something I got to get worked through. But am I going to let it ruin my happiness for the day? Because I got a job to do, and my job is to be a blessing to the people I come across every day. That's my job. And if I can't pick up my own pieces in whatever's going on in my world, then I got some real issues that I got to get straightened out because I'm not fulfilling what God gave me a chance to do 7 years ago.
Yeah.
He gave me a second chance at life that I cannot misuse. I can't, and not look at myself in the mirror. And as I heard Rodney Orr talk, man, if you didn't hear that, folks, you need to go back and listen to it on this show. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It is powerful stuff. Yeah. And a man who just distraught with what happened in his life. And look at what's transpired for him.
Yeah.
We heard his grandson talk.
Yeah.
I heard him say, now you're going to eat that muffin right there. You know,
yeah.
Granddaddy had made muffins
yep.
for his grandson. And pretty good day.
And the story of his stepson.
Yeah.
Man, facing 5 years in prison. Now he's got his own ministry.
His own ministry.
Yeah.
Ascension, and I think it's in Iowa, he said.
Yeah.
Ohio, I'm not sure. But, man, anyway, that book, Bigger Than Bama, I want to read it when you're done.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, we're blessed to have Rodney Orr on with us today, and you can find Bigger Than Bama. Just look up Rodney Orr, and it's printed here in Alabama. It's a local publishing company, and Bigger Than Bama is a story that all of you Alabama fans will want to hear. I'm telling you, if you're an Alabama football fan, this book is full of history from Coach Bryant's days all the way to today with Coach DeBoer. But Rodney's personal story in there. The tribulations that he went through,
powerful.
And losing his wife and his son-in-law, and within 2 hours, on an expressway in Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
his wife racing to get there to see what had happened, what had transpired, and she's killed in an automobile accident, just like her son-in-law was that same day. What a story and what a tragedy. I want to say this. I went by to see Chris and Kim Garris today, and I loved talking to Tyler. Tyler and I had a little bet, and he said that
Major
Applewhite was a left-handed quarterback, and I remember him being a right-handed quarterback, and then you sent me the picture. So, Tyler, you're in debt. You owe me. But I love going by there to see Chris and Kim and those folks because they're just fabulous people. And they want to make your car like brand new. It's over on 1177 Sledge Drive right here in Mobile. You can reach them at 251-478-4500. It is such a joy to see a vehicle like your Sonata went in. Just
brand new.
Yeah. Now it's brand new.
Yep.
Looks brand spanking new.
And by the way, Chris, I'm bringing you another one next week. I got one that needs a little work. I'm going to bring it to see you, buddy.
Well, it's so great to go by and visit with them. If you get a chance, go by and see them. If you have a fender bender, I promise you they'll take great care of you. What a great show this was. This show's, we're kind of dedicating it to a former coach he was a head coach at Barry when Bob Finley passed away. We lost Mike Thorson Tuesday, and Mike was a longtime assistant at Mountain Brook High School. 25 years with Chris Yeager and that staff, and we appreciate everything that he had to say to us. And then Rodney Orr, what a great story that is, Bigger Than Bama. And then finally the Legend Series with Ben Harris, what an awesome, awesome football coach, but what an awesome man of God he is. We appreciate that. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week.